The Klingon Assault Group is a body of Star Trek fans that has come together to enjoy all things Klingon. Why Klingon? I could chalk it up to the determination that is part of the warrior spirit the Klingon race represents. I could say it was to look at reality from a different perspective, how things could have been if everybody tried hard to be their very best to each other, with Klingon honor. It could be the chance to take an existing fictional system and explore new areas about how it was created. How did the language, which we are still building on, come to be? How and why are holidays, not of this planet, celebrated? It could be a chance to envision new foods and drink. It could be a chance to cosplay, not as an individual, but in a group who has common interests together and wants to share them with the public. It could just be the first rule of CAG. Have fun. No matter what your interests are, no matter what you want to learn or be a part of developing, no matter what you do, the most important thing is to be having fun. If a hobby isn't fun, why do it? CAG offers many opportunities to have fun doing interesting things. If you like to cook, we have recipes for you. If you like making interesting drinks, we have recipes for that too. If you like to learn new languages, we have many experienced Klingon speakers within our ranks who love to share their knowledge. We even have members translating great works of fiction back to their original Klingon, and songsmiths turning pop songs into Klingon songs. If you like to learn new cultures, CAG encourages learning about Klingon culture and even developing your own aspects. Like to make costumes? CAG has guides to help you get building. If you like conventions, CAG is there. This is where we started. From showing off our work at fan tables, to running panels about the things we've learned and done, to just being the Klingons at the convention. CAG develops the tools to allow these things to happen. You can be part of that development. Join CAG. It's your duty to serve the Empire. Cup luck.
Another of the advantages to being a member of the Klingon Assault Group is what we do at conventions. And here to talk about some of the activities that's being done at conventions is the Quadrant Commander, Leela McMichael. Leela, can you go ahead and tell us what your quadrant is?
Sure. It's a Dark Star Quadrant, and we are part of Dark Moon Fleet. Our states that we encompass are Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And Washington, D.C. is included in that as a by default in association with Maryland. So we're basically a four, I believe, state area. We've been around for a pretty long time. One of the older quadrants in CAG, we were Central Quadrant prior to being named Dark Star Quadrant after our fleet was named Dark Moon Fleet. And I've been Quadrant Commander before. This is my second term after a period of not being Quadrant Commander. And I served 8 years my first term and first year of my second term. So I'm enjoying it. It's been a little difficult these past months since October. I've had to start work full time again, but I'm still trying to keep up with Quadrant business. And of course, COVID is affecting all of us. But yeah, that's Quadrant. Sorry, too much information. But we're a Dark Star Quadrant.
One of these days when we get out of quarantine, maybe we can start doing conventions again.
I look forward to that.
The activities that CAG does at conventions are numerous. One of the basic activities that almost every ship and CAG, as we've talked about, is divided up into ships in an area that do various activities in that area is hosting a table for their group at the convention to tell convention participants about themselves and CAG. Leela, would you like to talk about group tables?
Absolutely. I call them CAG tables. I don't usually ascribe them to my ship because so many people participate at our convention, and it gives us an area that we can convene and have store our things under the CAG table. A lot of people volunteer to help run that table, so I generally call them a CAG table. we do decorate it to the nines. We put up as many banners as we can based on, of course, the environs. Some are more easily used for putting things up. Some of the ceilings in some places are too short to accommodate some of our taller banners on stands. But we decorate it up, we decorate the table up. Sometimes we have themed tables. We've had a weapons table. We've had a ship's table where we have all our model ships on the table. Generically speaking, a regular CAG table would have a combination of all of that. We would have some weapons, some ships, some props, some toys, some figures, lots of color. We use the classic Klingon colors of red, blue, and green to make the table pop. We use a lot of red and black, which are more the Imperial type colors. And we just, of course, we dress to the nines. We wear our armor. We dress in Klingon or either classic or Imperial, or we dress out as whatever species we're representing that day. So we provide a lot of color. Our tables are usually the first that are set up. We get to the convention early and we are on top of it, immediately setting up. And we provide a lot of beauty to the aisles and the hallways that we're at, because we always have a really nice setup. And because my ship is oriented towards charitable activities, we always make sure that we have one or two charities running at every table. And although we spend a lot of our time soliciting funds raising for these charitable activities, which range from hospice to Kwanzaa Family Inn, which is where I work, we still take the time to recon throughout the convention, you know, go hunting for booty at the dealers tables, and interacting with the people who are attending the con, doing photo ops with them, and giving of ourselves in a presentation type manner to promote CAG and Klingons and Star Trek as best we can, and in general have fun doing everything that we do while we're attending that con.
You talked about themed tables a second ago. What exactly is a themed table, and what themes do you use?
I sort of outlined a couple of them. A weapons table would have all of our bat lifts, and we have raised displays that we can mount them on. We have all of our firing weapons, our disruptors, and any other that we might have gotten from other species, and put our own logo on. We have one broken weapon from the Star Wars universe that we display proudly. That kind of thing. So we have, that's our weapons. For our ships themed tables, we have our boxes of ships that we have not opened. We have a sign that sits out in front of them. It says ships in dry dock. And then we have the other ships just displayed, our birds of prey, our cruisers, the Katingas or the D7s. We have them out. We have the IXL ships, which are the Imperial Xeno Legion ships, comprised of the different species that work with the Klingons in support of the Klingon Empire. They serve honorably beside us. So we have our Romulans, we have other ships from other races that work with us. And if we have the occasion to have a Federation ship on the table with us, we always put it upside down. So that is the ship theme of our themed tables. Other than that, we haven't really gone too much. I think one time we have done a IXL themed one, but that's very rare, where we went through all of our props. We pulled out all of our collectibles that specifically related to other species in the Star Trek and the mostly Star Trek universe. And we placed them on the table in sections. We had all the Andorian stuff in one corner, the Romulan stuff in another corner, the Cardassian stuff in other plays, that kind of thing. So we did an IXL table at least once. That's what I mean when I say a themed table. The only other themes that we would use is if we were raising funds for a specific charity, like, for example, Carolina Caring, which used to be Catawba Regional Hospice. Then we would have a
kind of a themed table for them, because we would have their signage, and then we would have all of their brochures out on the table where they're soliciting volunteer work and telling about their economy. So in a way, we would have a themed table for that charity to promote fundraising for that charity. And so, and they would always give us candy, or bait, I always call it, for anybody that would come by to donate. So that's what I mean by themed table.
You also talked about photo ops.
Yes.
Are these walking photo ops, or do you have a
walking photo
display?
Ops, yes. And that's if you're prowling the con and somebody says, could I have a picture taken? That's great. But my chief medical officer, Martok, we call him General Martok because he emulates Martok from the Star Trek universe. Robert Plant created a wonderful replica of Klingon captain's chair. So he would bring that to a con, and in one case, in one con, like I said, it depends on the venue. You don't always have the same ability to set up the same way twice, because everybody does their cons in different locations. So in this particular venue was a Comic Con in one city, and we had a wonderful backdrop separating us right across the way from our table from the programming that they were having. And it was a backdrop that separated the programming from the dealer's area and the artist area where we were considered a vendor. So we were able to set up banners all along our side of that backdrop and place his chair right there in the center, put our some of our batlets in display on the side joining it, and we had photo ops taken that raised funds for the charity that we were, which was Kwanzaa Family Inn, that we were raising funds for. And so we would run from our table and we would pose with our batlets, and the person sitting in the command chair would pose with a batlet, and we had a lot of fun with the people attending the con for photo ops like that with his wonderful chair. But not everybody has that kind of resources. We were very lucky he had that to be able to make one. But other people do it in other areas. They have props, you know, batlets that people can pose with and that kind of thing. So that's what we have done in our area.
Or even a hanging banner that is not, that's basically a picture banner, can be a photo op backdrop.
Yes, one of the things that we basically use a lot of times is we have them come and stand with us behind our table in front of our Dark Moon Fleet banner, which is a great backdrop.
We
pretty much do what the consumer wants, you know. We can suggest certain things, especially with children. We'll bring them back there and put them on top of the chairs that we sit on and have them stand so they're standing up with us and kind of equal in height, but they're little kids. So you kind of work with your audience. You kind of have to flow with the go, you know, that kind of thing.
What about getting into the programming side of a convention?
Well, programming has to usually be worked out in advance with the con organizers. Sometimes
right.
they approach you and ask for help, which is what Eric Watts did with Treklana, which did not come about in 2020 because of COVID. And sometimes you offer the programming to them, such as when I was with my husband, Andy Fairbanks, we were doing Klingon karaoke, and we would offer to a con, hey, we've got this karaoke machine, we have all these karaoke records or discs, can do this if you would like, would you like to work us in? And chances are they would be happy to do that. So participating in program is a two-way street. You have to contact the organizer. You just can't come into a con and say, we're going to do this. You have to make sure that, you know, you've paved the way through contact and questions and answers and that kind of thing. So, but yes, doing panels, you know, activities like that, always run them through your organizer's contact first before you actually, you know, appear ready, set up to go.
And when it comes to program, or it comes to panels, you have the option of either doing the talking head type panel in that you get a topic like Babylon 5 and hopefully the audience isn't going to turn it into a Sharknado panel.
Well, you never know what the audience is going to do. And of course, it depends upon the panel timing. If the panel's late at night, you're probably going to have people that are filled up with alcohol, and there's no telling where that's going to go. But yeah, generally speaking, if your panel has a clear goal of what they want to discuss and you have your panelists, you know, on topic and well-informed and the audience is interested, you're going to have a successful panel. So
your
ingredients are, you know, a topic that people are interested in and people who are well-informed and able to speak on it.
But you can also have a panel that is a more activity-driven event. For instance, Klingon speed dating.
Yes, and also teaching Klingon songs.
Yes, or
Klingon
even
costuming. You know, that's interactive, kind of.
I've even seen paint and take style panels, where the participants, the audience, basically is given something to paint. They paint it, and they take it with them, like the Klingon trifoil.
That's more of a generic con thing. We've not really, as members of CAG, done something that involved arts and crafts so much. Maybe in other areas they have, but in Dark Moon Fleet, I haven't heard of that. I know it's not impossible. I think that you actually did a remarkable panel one time doing that kind of thing at Treklanta the year that John Halverson came and attended Treklanta as guest of honor. And
I've been doing it for years in Omaha.
Wonderful. Yeah, you're in Phoenix Rising Quadrant, but in our quadrant we haven't done that. But I remember so well the amazing CAG symbols that you had created out of, was it resin?
Yes.
They were white? Yes. And you donated all this time and effort of this material and paints and set it up where people could sit in the room and they could paint their own CAG symbols, the CAG logos, and take them with them. And I took several home and I used a paint that stuck on a little better for what I did, but that was so generous of you and I will never forget. That was really good. For people who have resources to do that, John, that is an amazing blessing to the attendees of the con. And I just want to again thank you for that, because I still have some of the stuff and I've made sure that the ones that I painted, I've also given them out to my crew and other people who needed them. So your generosity is a gift that keeps on giving. I still have more to give, more to paint, more to give.
I think when people look into it too, they'll find that this idea of being mega, mega generous, turns out that all those pins cost me mere pennies to make. They're not expensive whatsoever. And if you take a resin thing like that, glue a thumbtack to the back of it and use a piece of cork, you have now made a lapel pin that people can wear the rest of the convention.
Right. So that was unique. I have not seen that done in Dark Star Quadrant. I know we have talented people who are capable of mass producing things, but COVID came right along before some of these people could actually show us their talents. So your panel with regard to crafting logos and CAG symbols and things like that is what sticks out in my mind the most.
What about other activities at conventions to add color to it? I understand Klingons have been security guards at some conventions.
Yes, I have seen conventions where Klingons were used as security guards and escorts for guests of renown, especially at Dragon Con. I've seen this. Some of our CAG members have in the past. Tor Orden, who is now back in CAG after a period of inactivity, was tapped to be a security guard for one of the Star Trek alums. I can't think of the name at Dragon Con, but that this has happened. They have asked for Klingon to escort them on and off stage and to walk through cons with them. So yes, it can happen. You have the right connections to be contacted and asked to do that. And most of our CAG members are ready, willing, and able to serve. So it's a great honor to do that. It has happened in the past. I hope it will happen in the future.
What about Klingon themed parties? What are those like? I've heard they can be real fun.
Yes, they can. Klingon themed parties or, you know, any other extraterrestrially themed parties by members of CAG are fun. But Klingon themed parties basically can take any direction. They can be general or generic, and they just offer a lot of signage and beautiful decorations, a lot of alcoholic beverages and snacks. Or you can have a chocolate party, which is a real big Klingon thing to do, where you offer all kinds of snacks and drinks that are of chocolate or chocolate derivation. And those can last up to 2 days, depending on how much you bring. I know that when I first hosted a chocolate party, which ended up being the last time I hosted a chocolate party, it was a 2-day venture because we brought so much chocolate of so many different kinds. We had to have it a second day in order to get rid of it and not have to take it home. But yeah, chocolate parties by Klingons are one of our hallmarks because, as we all know, and if you don't know listening, chocolate is a Klingon aphrodisiac. So we are known for our chocolate parties, and hopefully when we are able to have cons again, we'll be able to bring those back to the attention of the human attendees, and we can once again become renowned for our chocolate parties.
What about things like parades at conventions? I know DragonCon has a big one.
You mentioned DragonCon Parade, and to my knowledge, in my area of Dartmoon Fleet, that's the only convention that actively offers a parade. And of course, the parade is not specifically related to any one genre. It incorporates all of them, all of the science fiction, horror, fantasy, even science aspects of DragonCon. And Star Trek is a part of the DragonCon parade, but in recent years we have waned in our participation of it. We had a plan in place for this year's DragonCon, which had to be canceled because of COVID, to actively recruit, with Garrett Long's help, members from the audience who would attend our very first meeting at DragonCon and offer them parade ribbons to come and walk with us, because Star Trek is such an important aspect of our history and our civilization today, and teachings that it gives, you know, are very good for the whole world. The concepts of IDIC and the concepts of no poverty, and all children are educated and can read, and various other humanitarian aspects that Gene Roddenberry and the writers of Star Trek mythology espoused. So the philosophy of Star Trek is the best and cream of the crop of how mankind should treat each other, with equality and acceptance. So we were waning in our participation. I guess it's because of lack of airtime on the media through television and movies. And the general public tends to forget. They're more interested in other science fiction franchises. So we were going to try to make that a better appearance this year, but COVID intervened on that. So our hopes are high to incorporate this same plan in 2021, which I hope we still have a DragonCon then, but if not, we'll go for 2022, and we will do our best to get a huge Star Trek presence. Now, as far as Klingon participation, the local ships in Rising Phoenix Quadrant, the burden is really on them, because they are the ones that can bring the most pageantry, because they're closer to this parade. And so Kathy and Ryan Peck were standing ready to coordinate as best they could for this year to bring a CAG presence to DragonCon, and of course COVID, you know, interrupted that. We have a nice huge CAG banner that David Brown, one of our CAG members in North Carolina, created many years ago. So we have a CAG banner that needs to be carried by 3 people, has been historically carried by Andorians from up north many times in these parades. Well, we've got to have enough people to warrant having that banner, not just the people who are carrying the banner be the only ones participating as members of CAG. So we need a huge CAG presence. We want to work on that improving in our Dark Moon Fleet. So yeah, it's been a very good venue to raise awareness for the Klingon Assault Group, because the parade is filmed by the media, the local media, and ends up also in DragonCon archives on their parade. You know, they film their parade. And so we are seen by a lot of people, and a lot of people know about us. And they love the Star Trek portion, even though they don't necessarily mention the Klingon assault group because their presence has been diminished in recent years, but they love the Star Trek portion. You and I had talked briefly about other aspects of parades, and I know you mentioned the one at the other convention that has a parade through the halls. I have seen this done at conventions, and my ship has participated in parades of a sort on a very lower scale. When we are going to have a promotion ceremony or something of the like, sometimes, depending on the venue, we will assemble outside the venue and we will march in singing the Klingon anthem, and by doing that, get the attention of everybody. And sometimes we've done this for Death Howl, when we have either a member of the Star Trek mythos pass away, like Scotty, or one of the others that have passed away, or a local CAG member that passed away. Sometimes we will march in to get everybody's attention and assemble in a circle, and we will have a very loud presentation of the Death Howl or the promotion ceremony. We will get in a circle, and I will speak, or whoever's there will speak. Then we'll do the promotion ceremony, butt heads, and carry on as Klingons would, or in the case of a Death Howl, because I am not usually too scared in public situations, I will start it out, and we will start low, and we will do the Death Howl, and we will roar, and everybody. Now, for a Death Howl, we generally have to make an announcement for what that is, to let people know that, no, this is not an uprising of sorts. This is a cultural thing that we're doing with regard to our fandom, and do not panic. Don't pull your weapons. We're doing this because we're honoring a departed warrior.
You talked about the attendance at Dragon Con parade dropping. How would somebody who's joining CAG initially participate in something like that? How would they get involved?
To participate in the Dragon Con parade, you must be a paid member of Dragon Con, either for that day, if you can't afford the entire con, or you must be a volunteer for the con, for the whole con. So those are the prerequisites to be in the parade initially. That's the convention prerequisites. For a CAG member that is either going to volunteer for the con, or they have a paid membership, or they can only afford to come that day, then all they have to do is speak to the CAG representative who's organizing that, say, I am a volunteer and I will have my badge, or I am a paid member and I will have my badge for that, or I'll have my card that shows that I have paid but I haven't had a chance to go get my badge, but I can show you my card and I can get my ribbon. So, and then they have to wear that ribbon that's given out by the parade table. They check your name. They make sure that you're getting a parade ribbon legitimately, because generally speaking, I think the city of Atlanta has a certain number that cannot be exceeded for participants in a parade for safety reasons. They can only have a certain number of vehicles. They can only have a certain number of walkers. They have to have rules for participation. You can't throw candy. You can hand out some flyers. You cannot do political flyers, that kind of thing. There's a lot of rules you have to follow. But once you get to, you meet the qualifications to get your ribbon, then you just show up at the appointed time, which is generally speaking about 8 or 8:30 that morning. Find your group. They'll have a big, huge sign, and just stand by to march. You bring your banners if you've got them. Definitely bring yourself in your costume, and just be prepared to march and wave for the almost mile-long walk that it takes to complete the circuit to get from point A to B. And they'll have water. They'll give you at points so that you can stay hydrated, and you'll have water when you end. So it's a good experience, and you can interact with the crowd. You can yell at them in Klingon, and you can go shake their hands. And if you have time, because we're all walking, and there's sometimes people behind us that walk faster than we do. Like one year, I recall we had a young high school band behind our group, and I literally had to, me and another lady dressed in Klingon, literally had to drag our heels to keep them from running over us. So depending on who you're behind, you know, you have to keep up. It's a walk, it's a march, but it's worth it because it's such a great love from the crowd when they see Mr. Spock. We had Paul Forrest walk with us 1 year, and he does a great emulation of Mr. Spock. He's Spock Vegas, very famous. And we had Larry Henderson walk with us, and he just channels Scotty. He looks just like him in the face, and his same body build, and has the uniforms, and just looks just like Scotty. And it just feels so much like we have Scotty back when he walks with us. So the crowd loves this. They love us in costume. The more the merrier, and they love us cutting up and acting with them. We've even had Batleth battles, as when we had more warriors joining us, some of the men would do the Batleth battles, and they would just do running battles, and it was an entertainment thing. So it is something that the crowds really do love, and they love to feel that. They wave, they take pictures, they take movies, the kids want their hands slapped, you know. It's just, it's a great interactive experience, very positive Star Trek experience to not only participate in, but to share in.
We're talking about this for new members, people coming into CAG. So I know this is probably not easy to remember, but can you go back to the first time you participated in a Dragon Con parade and describe the feelings that went through you as you're marching?
Sort of I can. I was very excited to do it. I did not know what we were doing. I did not know where we were going. It was hard to get there back in the day. We had to walk to the start point, and that was confusing because not only were there people walking toward it, there were people walking away from it. So you had to make sure you followed the right costumed people. So once you walked to the parade, you almost did the parade. You did a parade almost walking to the parade, and then you actually participated in the parade. Things were a little rougher back in the day because I started when they very first started doing the parade. So there was a kind of a learning curve for getting things organized and having people go where they're supposed to go. There was some confusion where that was concerned. The route was slightly different. I think they have an established route now that seems to work, and it seems to repeat, because it seems to be the best one, at least that's what it seems to be in my memory recall. But yeah, it was just very exciting. It was very tough. I wasn't used to walking that far in costume. that was an experience. So I didn't have any water with me, so I became very dry, and it was fun. It was a lot of work. And it was hot, but we survived. So for everyone, their experience is going to be different. So if you're not used to walking, you might want to train a little bit, get used to walking beforehand. If you're not used to wearing a lot of makeup and you go full on, you might want to try to remember that. You need to maybe not dress as heavily. Go for a more lighter Klingon wear if you get tired really easily. I don't know. It's just something you just have to live through, and then you know. And one last thing I need to tell you is that as a new person participating in a parade of the size of Dragon Con, is that once you get out through the confusion of starting that parade and actually begin to participate and see the crowds and the audience that is awaiting you, you are absolutely blown away by the enormity of the humanity that is screaming and yelling at you and waving and supporting you, because Dragon Con in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, has a presence of tens of thousands and thousands of people. And they are wall to wall, lined up 40 and 50 deep, waving, taking pictures. They are up on the balconies of the hotels and businesses that align the parade route. They are on the parking structures, leaning over and waving. It is an absolutely surreal, out-of-mind, out-of-body experience to see all the people there that you are waving at and that are waving at you. It is mind-boggling. It is easy just to kind of go into a form of shock, and they're all waving, and they're all screaming about Star Trek, and so it is mind-blowing. to experience that, especially if you have never done it before. For a first time Dragon Con parade participant, it is, well, Dragon Con is a life-changing experience anyway, but to participate in the parade is an absolute cream of the crop experience. It's just, you just do not imagine the enormity of love for Star Trek that's out there until you walk through a crowd of people who absolutely appreciate your presence in costume before them. And it's just mind-blowing.
Well, we've talked a lot in these topics about how things have been shut down because of the COVID scenario that we have going on around the world. CAG has tried to overcome some of that with the online convention experience. Would you care to talk about a little bit about online conventions that we've been having this year?
I think we had, as a group, the Klingon Assault Group, we had CAGCON 2020 Home Invasion. And that was an amazing experience, I have to say. I have never participated in anything quite like that, and my kudos continue to go out to the organizers and the technical staff and the people who participated, because that was something unheard of in CAG history, and we pulled it off, and we really did a very good job. My only regret for that con is that the whole world wasn't there to see us in our glory and appreciate the great contributions and offerings that we had to give them that they could have enjoyed firsthand. It was an amazing experience. It was a 3-day, I think, con, and I was very honored to participate in it with IXL panel and the panel on charities, and just to be able to attend in costume. It was just absolutely amazing. Now, they have been other conventions like San Diego Comic-Con and some other major conventions that have offered, in our local area, Con Carolinas, that have offered virtual cons. Not been able to participate in all of them. I was aware in some of the panels that were coming up that were of interest to me that I was able to attend. It was very enjoyable. But at least it was there. Everybody that offered a in-person convention that wanted to give to their audience something that they could have at home came through, and they did something. They had a virtual con. So I think all of us in the Klingon Assault Group that were in positions of authority for our fleets and our quadrants tried to let folks know that this was available for them to take advantage. And of course, Facebook, which is a marvelous social media tool in many respects and a pain in the butt social media tool in others, was there to let us know that these conventions were available. And if you were members of the various Star Trek groups, Facebook groups, you would see the announcements of them. So there was so much out there to kind of ease us through the lack of having a real con, even though it still affected all of us that we couldn't attend Dragon Con when it came and went, and we couldn't attend this con when it came and went. It still was a hurtful thing for us, but we had something to assuage our grief at not being able to attend it. But they're amazing. To have nothing would have been horrible and horrific and would have caused our souls to wither and die. But the virtual offerings that have been given to us because of COVID have helped tremendously. And like I said, I can't say enough good about CAGCON. That, to me, it really blew my mind how well it was done and how well it went off. And without so much as a hitch, as far as I knew, I'm sure behind the scenes people were struggling and scrambling, but from my perspective, it was polished, considering it was a first-time effort. It was very well executed. It had a lot of variety, extremely enjoyable programming. I just feel like, I don't know how we're going to be able to top that. We raised the bar so high the first time, it's going to take a monumental effort to even match what we did. I was so impressed with it.
Well, the nice thing is, the only good thing to come out of COVID are these online conventions. And I know that at least with CAGCON, that one is going to continue. It's being organized again for 2021 and can easily be continued after that, because I know the organizers are looking at it as a chance for CAG members that are not local to a physical convention to be able to come together and interact with each other on a
That's amazing news. And not only that, it'd be a great recruitment tool.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for presenting all these interesting ideas that CAG can do and has done for people regarding conventions.
I love the group, and it's a great fan club. We have a lot of fun. We get into a lot of mischief.
And I've heard the tales of the Klingon warriors standing on the balconies and attacking the stormtroopers that are on the floor of the Marriott at DragonCon. I don't remember if they did it with pillows or what, but...
teddy bears. And the stormtroopers whined and cried about it, and that had to be discontinued. The stormtroopers whined and cried about it, and that had to be discontinued, but that's okay. It was kind of a safety thing anyway.
Well...
but it was fun while it lasted.
I think the situation here is stormtroopers are soldiers. Klingons are warriors. And despite the fact that they both fight battles, it's a completely different mythos, a completely different way of thinking about how you address your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to thank you again for this talk, Leela.
And you're very welcome.
We look forward to conventions happening again.
Sounds good.
Kabla. Hello again. Right now I'm talking with Marcus, who's the Commandant of the Marine Division of CAG. Say hello, Marcus.
Hello, Marcus.
Okay. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Kidding aside, Marcus, what's the purpose of having a separate Marine division within a Klingon club?
Well, part of that is unity. A lot of the Marines that's in the CAG Imperial Marine Corps is from the military. So we get all types, and it's also... a place for those that don't feel that they belong. You know, they don't have an exact place where they belong. So they have a smaller group within CAG that they can band together.
You mean as opposed to the Navy does the flying and the Marines do the dying?
Pretty much. You know, we're the icicle. Put us on a ship, throw us in cryo state, and, you know, de-thaw us when you need us.
You know, and that's interesting because you go through the literature, the novels on Klingon ships, and you've got both the spectrum of the Klingons are put in stasis, cryosleep, whatever, you know, the Klingon sickles. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the Gorkon series of books where the Klingons are not frozen and the ground forces are in training the entire time they're traveling between planets. So well, six of one, half a dozen another as to which way they go.
True. And if you go back to Star Trek The Next Generation, in the second season, you had ships that were deployed during the Federation Klingon War that the whole ship basically was put to sleep in cryo state and woke up at a later time.
I guess that kind of reflects the way the Klingon uniform goes on the Star Trek series. You've got dozens of different uniforms within the same ship.
True. And of course, they've taken a lot of like the padded version from Star Trek VI, and they've introduced that definitely through DS9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've taken portions of the uniforms throughout the years, and they reuse them. I mean, which is, you know, cost effective for obviously the Star Trek franchise.
It's actually cheaper for the franchise to have many different uniforms because if they need to have a lot of Klingons, they can go to the closet.
They can just go to the closet and pull it out. Exactly.
Yeah. So what do the Marines do within CAG?
Perform a lot of different duties, security being a large part of it, which basically we perform guards at the party rooms for different displays. Basically, a lot of roving patrols, help out the conventions. Just sort of a little bit of everything. We're sort of like a utility group.
When you say security at conventions, you're not talking about badge checking people going into the rooms. You're talking about making sure people aren't starting a fight?
Well, starting fights and even badge checking going into rooms. We've been called on to do a lot of different, normally the hotels or the convention spaces have their own security. And then we end up working with security, whenever they need help. I was at a convention in Chicago, WindyCon, several years ago. And I say several, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, something like that.
WindyCon's been going on for 20, right. 30 years. But yeah.
I was there, a few years ago, and one hosting a room party, and one of our guests she was going from room party to room party, and she sort of got pulled into a room party, and I'm saying this, in air quotes, that really wasn't a room party. It was guests the hotel that, were preying on congoers, seeing who they get pulled into their room, and she ended up getting out of the room, came back to the Klingon Marine room, which was having the room party, let us know that, hey, something was going on and that they were pulling people in. And we ended up getting a hold of the hotel and these gentlemen that were doing their thing. And I'm not going to go into detail about it, but they end up getting arrested.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
for something like that.
I mean, one, we are a, you see a Klingon Marine, we're a safe point at a convention, and see me walking around. I mean, I'm a rather large person, make a pretty good size Klingon. You get close to me, I mean, you're secure. We're sort of a walking safe place. Or, if you need a place to crash, or you need a place just to get away from a lot of excitement and stuff during the day, during a convention or something, you can find us and we can get you a place to chill for a while. So like I said, we're sort of a jack of all trade, but I mean, we help, the convention needs help with a guest that's got special needs. We'll help pick up a wheelchair and put it on stage if they don't have wheelchair access. We'll escort people out to their cars whenever it's dark, just because, some people don't feel safe walking out to their cars at night in a dark parking lot.
Yeah,
we sort of perform a lot of different duties. And with that, I know that a lot of CAG members do the same thing. You'll find the Navy personnel of all kinds that will escort people out or help with security. But the Marines really were the ones that started it. So we get a lot of requests to perform security duties. And we take it on because that's who we are.
Did you hear about the Klingon contingent? I don't know if it was with CAG or because the news media didn't break it down, but one of the churches that was protesting in California, they were going to disrupt the burial, the funeral of a couple of officers or a couple of actual United States soldiers.
Right.
And the Klingons stepped up and blocked the group from stopping the funeral procession.
Right. There's a lot of military personnel that join the CAG Imperial Marines. One, I am definitely a CAG member, and I make sure that everyone knows that. That's why it's part of our name. But like I said, I was also in the Marine Corps. So I'm out there to help any brother or sister, no matter what their political alignment is, whatever their sexual alignment is, I don't care.
You're out there helping humans.
I want everyone to feel safe. And in his, her, or whatever form they take. So I encourage, and I mean, I vigorously encourage all the Imperial Marines to stand up for everyone. You know, if they see someone being bullied, stand up for them. Get between them. Obviously, don't put yourself in harm, which I will, but, you know, I've had the training to take care of certain situations.
I think up until recently, it's been a matter of, in the United States, that de-escalation is a fairly easy thing to come by. You just kind of look like you're intimidating, and you'll make people think about fist fighting or anything.
Right. I mean, like I said, I'm a larger person, so, you know, I can walk down a street and not feel threatened. I'm also the kind of person that, you know, you hear a gunfire, I'm the one that goes towards the gunfire instead of away from it. My reaction is to move towards where something's going on instead of away from what's going on.
Yeah. Being a Marine, you're trained that way.
Exactly. So, you know, not only am I a Marine, but I'm also a CAG Marine.
Right. What other type of activities do you do? What's this Honor Guard thingy?
Honor Guard. I'm in with the Honor Guard. What that is, we escort any of the CAG officials or CON officials or CON guests as far as, you know, on and off stage. You know, we're sort of a mix between a runner and a bodyguard. And that's sort of what we like to do.
We've got a Facebook group for CAG Marines, and we've got a Discord channel on the CAG server for CAG Marines.
Yes, sir.
Anybody use them?
Yes.
What for?
One, just to chat, throw ideas, sometimes just, post pictures. I use the CAG Imperial Marine Facebook group more than I do, Discord or even the CAG.org, because one, it's easier to get onto. I've got Facebook on my phone. You know, Facebook's just a little easier to get onto for me most of the time. Not that I don't have everything on my phone as well, but Facebook, I can check friends, and I can also check in on CAG as well, a little easier. Sort of a one-stop shop for me. But basically, bounce ideas off of other members. With the pandemic going on, I haven't been as active on the internet as I normally am. I've got a lot of projects that I'm doing at home and a lot of personal things going on that, trying to take care of family duties. And, well, like I said, I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now that I don't normally get to take care of because usually I'm working.
I think a lot of us have had to change our normal activity thing and pull those projects out of the woodwork that we wanted to get done, and now we got time at home to do them.
Exactly.
This gets now down into how the Marines are set up. Rank structure for Marines and not the Navy one? Yeah.
Right. We do go with the U.S. Marine rank structure, which is private through Sergeant Major for the enlisted, and then goes from second lieutenant through general for the officer ranks.
It's interesting you mentioned that you've got private through sergeant major, because in the Navy side, you're a warrior or something like that until you get a uniform, and then you're an officer. So there's one or the other.
Right. And like I said, we do keep a rank structure because there are some CAG and Pro Marines that don't want to be an officer that actually have a uniform. So, there's some that actually want to stay enlisted, and there's some that their goal is to be an officer. So, we keep both because we have both, and that's because that's what they want.
Well, there's also the fact that if you've got a rank structure for non-officers, you've got something to reward people for their work.
Exactly.
Yeah, without having to, I don't have a uniform yet. Okay, we did a lot of this stuff, so we're going to give you a promotion.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Even with the uniform, an original series uniform for anyone is not that hard to put together.
No, so it isn't.
And it's a cheap uniform that you can embellish to however you want to do it.
Although I wouldn't suggest using the original series belt buckle.
Well, you can, but, you know, you get bored, you might may pop it.
Yeah, exactly. It's bubble wrap.
Exactly.
You go to the museums now where they're displaying the original series uniform, you'll see all the little bubbles on the belt buckle have flattened out.
Yeah, exactly. But I do know that John Halvorsen actually, a bunch of years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, sent me a little care package, I think he did to most everyone. That
he was very generous.
Yes, and I know that he had a ton of stuff that was given to him. But he sent me several care packages throughout the years, but one of them has a original series belt buckle, which is plastic. It's not the bubble wrap. So I mean, there are things you can do to make them a little more durable, obviously.
Yes.
Cheap or durable, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as you can put a uniform together, I definitely encourage, and I tell everyone, you know, go cheap and you can build from there. If that's what if you're wanting to be an officer, you want to, you know, you want to do something like that, go cheap and you can always add on to it later.
Well, there's also the fact too that if a CAG Marine is a walking safe zone, having a uniform on advertises exactly. The fact that's where you're at and that's who you can go to.
Exactly.
What are the benefits of joining CAG and the CAG Marines?
We are more of a family unit. We will take care of each other. I mean, not that CAG as a whole doesn't try to take care of everyone. We're just a smaller group. Like I said, we don't judge. I judge, obviously, uniforms, you know, and there are certain standards we keep. But with that, we don't judge. We're there for each other. And no matter where you go, if there's a Marine there, all of a sudden you've got an instant family connection. And like I said, not that CAG does not promote that, because I've gone up north to CRAP several times, which is a Klingon camping group, and still ride at home with them. You know, I'm in Kansas City, but they're up in Minnesota. One, beautiful camping sites, but I always feel definitely welcome, and I definitely feel like I fit in. But with the Marines, like I said, there's been times that, you know, throughout CAG's history, the Ring of Fire Fleet left CAG. One, the CAG Marines were a bridge for those that still wanted to be part of the group, but didn't want to be exactly part of CAG. They didn't want to turn face to where their own fleet went, but they still had a home within the Imperial Marine. And an Imperial Marine, no matter if it's CAG, CAG Canada, we bridge groups. If you're going to participate at a convention with us, you got to follow CAG rules. You know, you got to, you know, no live steal. You know, you got to have fun. There's no bickering. We try to keep the politics of the groups out of the CAG Imperial Marine Corps.
I've heard of CAG Marine ships.
Yes.
What exactly are those?
They're just like a naval ship, but we use IKAV, which is attack vessel, instead of just in CAG.
IKAV.
Imperial, yeah. A lot of times it's all Marines, and me and John Halvorsen several times sit down and tried sort of doing a little hodgepodge of ground forces, you know, trying to turn most ships into more of ground forces, you know, ground units instead of actual ships. But, you know, we have our own ships and we can, you know, we can carry our own, you know, our own battle groups. But like I said, it's basically, you can either start a CAG Marine ship, or you can create a CAG Imperial Marine Ground Force, which basically has pretty close to the same setup.
Okay, I walk up to a Klingon at a convention. Sir. How do I know if they're Navy or Marine?
Two different things. We have a emblem for the Kag Imperial Marines, which has the dagger pointing down. Does mean that we had a loss, but we have that, and also our sashes have a blood stripe on them. Basically, they've got a red ribbon running around them.
You also have on your rank pins, their red background.
Yes, they are red rather backgrounds
than the black with background.
Red backgrounds with gold initialing on them.
So there's multiple ways to tell. You just
there are.
It's just how things go.
You have to almost be right up on the person to see the rank. But I mean, there's multiple things that can tell you. And a lot of times, they're the louder ones. You're the more rowdy group.
Being made safe by a rowdy group.
Exactly.
Hey guys, we need some security. Hell's Angels, come here.
Exactly. I mean, because really, whenever I thought of Klingons in the first place, more like a motorcycle group. You know, you see the, because like the Federation is your dressy, uppity type. And then you have the Klingons that sort of roll in on their motorcycles because they're basically a biker group.
I've got on my notes here that I understand there's an overarching duty for CAG Marines. What is it?
Making each Marine feel welcome. You know, from top to bottom, none of us are any different. We're here to be ambassadors of CAG. We need to put our best foot forward because we've had several CAG admirals wanting to disband the Imperial Marines. You know, just sort of absorb us back into the Imperial Navy and be done with the CAG Marines. But we cross borders. Like I said, I do not treat any Klingon Marines different, no matter what group they belong to. Now, granted, I can't put them in charge of a CAG group, but we share a common bond. And we want to promote Klingon Marines, we want to promote unity, and we also want to do it as ambassadors to cosplay, to conventions. We want to make sure that everyone that's a Marine feels welcome, that they always have a place to go, they always have a safe place. But we also do that for everyone. We want everyone to feel that they have a safe place.
Okay. I'm coming up here now to probably the most important part of this talk. How does somebody get involved with the CAG Marines?
One, on the application to become a CAG member, you know, you've got down at the bottom, you've got a bunch of boxes you can check. CAG Marine is one of them. We do have a lot of members that are outliers. You know, you have people that's out in the middle of nowhere. But you've got a lot of members that may not be close to a group that actually get together. You know, Kansas City area, I've got 5 ships that we all actually, up until the pandemic, had monthly meetings face to face. Since
together?
The pandemic, not so much, but
Was the meetings with all the ships together or separately?
Yeah, all the ships together.
That's impressive.
I mean, one, we've actually Kansas City Squadron, which is made up of, like I said, 5 different ships. And I'm actually the squadron commander. I know Bear, Admiral, can't think of his name, but...
I think it's William something, isn't it?
He actually had it prior to me. It sort of fell apart for a while, and I resurrected it with the help of, obviously, the other ships. You know, it's a way to keep us a little active, you know, being able to get together. And, you know, sometimes it's just talking about old times. But as far as that goes, it's, you know, we get together normally once a month. We also have a couple of Federation ships that we'll go and play mini golf with, and, you know, try not to beat them too bad. You know, we've had raiding parties where we crash their Christmas parties and stuff like that too. So, I mean, we've got a good group, and, you know, a lot of us are getting older, so it's, you know, we just got to get the infusion of the new generation. And we do have a few younger members. I think for CAG itself, you know, we need the infusion of the younger generation getting in there and getting involved.
So you say you're getting older. Does that mean that instead of crashing the Federation parties, you actually open the door?
No, we still crash. We show up. I mean, we'll bring our own chairs, but, you know, we'll eat all their food.
Yeah.
But Admiral Coyote, which is the commander of their local ship, we've crashed their party a couple of times, and they're very gracious hosts after they've been conquered. Of course, we get shushed a lot because, you know, we're loud and they're trying to watch movies. And
okay, is there anything you want to close with, Marcus?
One, with the pandemic, wear your masks. Make sure your mask is over your nose. You don't close the bottom part of your window and open the top part. You know, you want to make sure that you're staying safe, you know, as far as not catching this horrid virus. We've lost way too many members. We continue to lose members due to this virus. Wash your hands. Do everything you can to keep yourself safe from this virus. On the same note, stay rowdy. Don't hide. Be public when you do any Klingon. If it's walking your dog wearing your Klingon uniform, let the public know we are still here. We are still proud. We are still crazy. Keep working on your uniforms. I mean, this is a perfect time. You can't really get out and do a whole lot, but work on your uniforms. Work on learning Klingon. I need to do the same thing. As many years as I've been a Klingon, I still cannot speak Klingon for crap.
I'm with you there.
Treat everyone with respect. Agree to disagree. If you cannot find a common ground, agree to disagree. There's nothing wrong with it. Everyone should have their own opinion. Be true to yourself.
If not, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, exactly. Be true to yourself. Be true to those around you. And just stay safe from this virus. Practice social distancing. We're all on this rotating ball of mud. This is our home.
I can thank you for this informative talk, Marcus, and encourage people who are interested in what we've talked about to contact the CAG Marines somehow and see if it's for you, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through Discord, or are there any other channels I'm missing, Marcus?
Discord, you can also, like I said, the CAG.org. We've got a couple of spots on there. But really, for me, I mean, I do definitely, I check Facebook pretty much every day. So hit us up on Facebook. But there's me and Lord Vamp that actually approves members as well. And we try to make sure we reach out to our members. We talk to every single one, be it the welcoming message. None of these are scripted messages. These all come from, you know, whenever I send a message, that's from me. I'll even try to look up some of, you know, your town, wherever you're from. I'll try to look it up so I can at least have something to talk to you about from your own local area.
The main reason we want to contact you guys and talk with you guys is because, well, frankly, if we've got an idea to do a Klingon event, we can't do it without you.
Exactly.
You're the important one.
Exactly. One, CAG Marines will go on without me. CAG will go
but
on
not without
me.
Marines.
But we do need people to fill positions and make it fun. Being in a command position sometimes isn't as fun, but as long as I can get someone else to have fun, I'm having fun. as long as I can share the Klingon way with, you know, I can share Star Trek with someone, I'm having fun. I love sci-fi. It's been a passion of mine since I was very young. I've been part of CAG for over 25 years now. If I would have known about it at the start, I would have been, I was in California whenever it was started, just a few miles from John Halverson. If I would have known about CAG back in 88, I would have been part of CAG then. I've been a Klingon pretty much for all my life, from the original series through the Next Generation to Discovery and beyond.
I really thank you for your time, Marcus. And those who are listening, get a hold of them, get a hold of the Marines.
You can also email me at Marvin Dotson, all lowercase, all one word. It's MarvinDotson at Comcast.net. I am on Facebook. You can find me either as Marvin Dotson. You can find me on Twitter as Marcus18. You can find me on Discord, Marcus, and that's 1531, or after Marcus. You can find me on Skype, it's Marvin Dotson. I haven't put a Klingon Skype in yet, but if I do, it'll be Marcus. Yeah, you can send me emails directly. I'd be more than happy to talk to you. I'd be more than happy to help you find your way in CAG, you know, even if it's not the Imperial Marines. I am still a resource to help.
Okay, I think that about wraps it up for this show. We thank you for listening, and we'll hopefully get some more stuff for you later.
Kapla!
Really, though, when you're looking at your benefits, they will be determined by what you contribute, what you do, and how much you're willing to learn. In other words, what you get from CAG will depend on what you're willing to put into CAG. We hope this series of podcasts has whetted your appetite for doing things and left you wanting more. Ideally, if you don't find what you're looking for in CAG, help us create it for you. And remember, above all else, have fun. Kapla!